Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hello, good morning, welcome, thanks for joining me. I'm Jesse, and this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. Before we get started, I want to acknowledge that this show and all of our in-house programming is produced on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkmilam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here living and gathering to share stories and culture and music and life together here since time immemorial, and that I am very grateful and very lucky to be able to live in this beautiful place that they never formally surrendered or gave up and has been occupied since the time of colonization. Today on the show, got a mix of things, as usually is the case when it's me hosting this program. We've got a piece from Danny, two pieces from Danny, I believe. We've got some other stuff from Frequency. We've got a conversation that I had with our volunteer Min, who was away for the summer but is now back and is talking about movies and pop culture, as he is known to do, so we'll get to that. And of course, there will be music, because I don't know if I'm physically capable of hosting a radio show without a little bit of local music. So why don't we just get right into that right off the hop. This is new music from Buddy, who are awesome. They're a band that is now in Vancouver, transplanted from Philadelphia, I believe, a few years ago. And they have a new record called Glass, which is coming out less than a couple months at this point, November 7th. So a month and a week and a half. That's a good, easy way to understand that length of time, right? November 7th. And it's going to be great. I really, really have loved all of the bits and pieces of this record that I have heard, either live or on record, as this one is. So we're going to hear the first single from that one. It's called Stressed in Paradise.
We left the shore for something.
The Slate Family Foundation Legacy Program was created to support artists who have dedicated their lives to music and who now struggle to maintain mental wellness and an adequate standard of living. Loneliness and social isolation are key risk factors for mental health conditions later in life. This May, during Mental Health Awareness Month, the Unison Fund is asking you to support Canadian legacy artists and musicians. For more information on this lifeline of hope, visit unisonfund.ca.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On September 20th, the Marianne and Edward Gibson Art Museum at Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus finally became accessible for public viewing. The museum, which is also being referred to as the Gibson, is SFU's very first purpose-built art museum, consolidating what was previously known as SFU Galleries. The Gibson is named after Marianne and her late husband, Dr. Edward Gibson, who joined the university in 1965 as one of SFU's charter faculty members. The Gibson Art Museum was made possible through funding that was provided by Edward Gibson's family. Before the opening, CJSF sat down for a conversation with Executive Director of the Gibson, Kimberly Phillips. During the interview, Phillips spoke on the design philosophy of the new art museum and how it serves to honor Dr. Edward Gibson's own values of cross-disciplinary collaboration and dialogue.
Dr. Gibson was a really interesting person. He was a charter faculty member and an urban geographer, and he also ran the art gallery in the 80s and 90s. And he was really excited about visual art because he felt it was a way to catalyze conversations across disciplines. He was often, his widow Marianne has told me many times that he would get frustrated with his colleagues in geography because they wouldn't really see the ways in which the opportunity that art presented to launch new ideas and connect people across disciplines. And so he really kind of grabbed this opportunity and saw what the potential of both the art gallery and also SFU's art collection could do to catalyze these kinds of inquiries. So that was why he called for an art museum on the campus. So that is kind of embedded in the mission and the mandate of the Gibson Art Museum, is this notion of like interdisciplinary inquiry, grounding, like working with artists, like really exciting kind of research propositions, but seeing art as a way of engaging with the world, regardless of what discipline you seem to work in and the research questions you have.
Phillips then went on to explain some of the questions that came about when designing the Marianne and Edward Gibson Art Museum, including how to make the space more accessible and welcoming for all SFU students.
Who, you know, almost every university campus has an art gallery or museum. And I would say like a good 90% of students move through their whole degrees without ever setting foot in these spaces because they just assume that they're not for them, right? So that was a big question for us. Like, is it possible to try to design a space that feels like it invites you to come in, that is all on one level, that you can see into. There's enough windows that it doesn't feel like a crypt or something specialized that doesn't involve you, that you can see people that look like you inside already. All of these things. What are the materials? How do the materials that we build with encourage? Do they feel warm? Do they feel clinical? Do they encourage you to kind of stay a while or slow down? Those kinds of questions were really important. Yeah.
Lastly, Kimberly Phillips explained the idea and inspiration behind the museum's first exhibition, titled Edge Effects.
The term edge effect comes out of ecology. Scientists use it to describe what happens when there's two different ecological communities that sort of like rub up against one another or coexist next to one another. An example of this is like a forest meeting the edge of farmed land, or, you know, a river meeting an ocean. And there's specific conditions that erupt when those communities kind of mingle and intermix, like a river estuary, right, has a certain kind of like a brackish, saltier water. So it allows for certain interactions and certain like kind of abundance to flourish where otherwise, you know, certain species would never meet. So I was really interested in this description of like what happens at edges, essentially. And like I said, in my team, we've been talking about what our roles are at the edge of the university, facing outwards, facing into the publics. And I say publics, like multiple publics, like young kids, like elder people, various different visitors, etc. Like, as well as students and faculty and scholars and staff. So the condition of operating along that edge, I thought, was a really interesting and appropriate one to explore, because I think also Dr. Gibson was kind of excited by edges. There's lots of pictures of him teaching class outside. He didn't love the classroom so much. He enjoyed being out, like, in the world. He was an urban geographer. He was interested in, like, the ways in which society and the environment kind of coexist together and inform one another. So what we did was I developed this quite a large and quite an unruly exhibition of 15 different artists whose artistic practices are all contend with edges in really different ways. Like, they sort of grapple with edges.
The Marianne and Edward Gibson Art Museum requires no admission fee and is now open to the public from Wednesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this segment on frequencynews.ca.
Thanks to Danny for that report. And yeah, go check out the new Gibson Art Museum right up here on Burnaby's, or SFU's Burnaby campus. It's right by the top bus loop, so you can take the bus all the way up, and then it's like 15 steps away from the bus loop. Super easy, super accessible, no cost. And you can go look at some cool art and let it do things to your brain. Cannot recommend more highly. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We'll be back with some more talk in a moment, but for now, more local music. This is from the new record Ocilon by Bloom Effect. It's called Second Sight. We'll be right back.
break through.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That was Second Sight by Bloom Effect from their new record, Oscillon. I think you can expect to hear lots of that on CJSF over the next little bit. Lots of that record as it rules. Big fan. Anyway, this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. Up next is my conversation with public affairs volunteer Min. We might call him arts and entertainment volunteer Min. You've heard him talk about his review of various Marvel series, of certain anime, all sorts of things. And he was away for the summer, returned home and did some traveling. And now he's back, and he was super keen to talk about a movie he saw over the summer, a few years old, this movie, but we had a good conversation because I remember seeing it, and certainly read the book that it's based on. This is myself and Min talking about Ender's Game. We're here at CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, here with Min. Hello, Min.
Hi, I'm Min, a volunteer at CJSF. And I'm here to share with everyone about just a new movie I watched lately during the summer break. That had been giving me quite a lot of impression and thoughts. I also had posted on my social media account, shared with some friends, and it had been receiving quite a lot of reactions. So now I want to share it with the listeners of our radio as well. The movie name is Ender's Game, and it seems to be based on a novel. And Jesse already have read it, right?
Yeah, the book Ender's Game, written by Orson Scott Card, which came out a long time ago. I think that it's the 1985 is when it came out. And I read it when I was a teenager, and again a couple of years ago. Actually, I think before this movie came out, because I wanted to have read it before I watched the movie.
Is it a classic?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's pretty influential in the world of science fiction, and a lot of people have definitely read the book. It is, let's see.
When I watched this movie, I have known nothing about either the book or the movie or the how it went out. So, just a little bit of introduction on what it's about. Ender's Game is a sci-fi movie. Really interesting on how it delivers messages about war, about human morals, and maturity. The story goes around Ender Wiggin, a little boy who was enrolled into a school, an elite school named Battle School. It's quite an odd name, if you ask me.
Yeah, a little on the nose.
Yeah. Here, teenagers, the most skilled and talented on the planet, were trained to become the next leader of the human militaries against an alien race that's trying to invade Earth. And these children, they have to compete really hard and sometimes aggressive with each other to become the greatest, the best leader, and memorable, being prized and memorized as heroes of the human race. Now, this process of training was quite brutal, that along the way the children had, they're gonna show you that they had lost quite parts of their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the movies go deep into the psychology of Ender. Although he was from prizes as a genius by people around him, but he still got a sensitive part that make him face quite some pressures and challenges along the and the environment, the harsh environment of a military camp. Would you call it a military camp or
academy, maybe?
Yeah.
Like or a military school, even, yeah.
Yeah. And from his struggles, the movie just put out, make us question how can we justify war and how they use children for put them into a military purpose, and what can be the consequences, especially mental ones for the young soldier that they have to endure along the way. So, although it's for serving the greater good, the movie just has a really big twist at the end that was quite astonishing for me. For the book reader, those who already read the book, you probably have seen it coming. It may not have as much impact as I had. But from what I think, it seemed to be delivered really well done. It's really smooth, and just changed everything. My whole perspective about what was happening the whole way. So it was just that good.
Yeah, it's really cool when a movie or a book can pull off that kind of twist that completely changes the context or makes you think about the whole thing in a brand new way.
Yeah, seem like some really good sci-fi war movie with good visuals effects at first, but then the twist happened and this turned everything you we perceive upside down and make us question if what we just consider right or wrong can actually be right or wrong in the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an interesting examination of morality and whether it's sort of objective or subjective, right? Like whether there is something that is good or bad or whether it all kind of depends on your perspective.
Yeah. Well, do you have any thoughts on it? I know you're already watching the movie as well, right?
Yeah, I remember, you know, for me, anytime I watch an adaptation of something that I've already, a book or whatever that I've read, I almost always like the book more because I can imagine things in my head and just the nature of the medium of a book, it allows you to, you know, examine characters' inner thoughts more and just give a bit more of a fuller picture, but... Yeah. I remember enjoying the movie. I like Harrison Ford. You know, I'm going to probably have a good time watching anything that he's in. And definitely a visual spectacular. So.
Oh, yeah. I have already seen some similar reveals and also expression from fellow watchers of the movie. So some have already said that... the movie doesn't have enough screen time to adapt everything from the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they may not be good enough to give you a full perspective on the war against the alien in the movie. But from someone who had no experience or knowledge on the matter before watching the movie, it was I think it delivered everything, not everything, but enough to know what was going on, and kind of go straight to the point. I read some synopsis from the book that it explores Anders grow up from, I guess, secondary school, around that age to up to high school. But the book just had him in around 15 years old right away.
Yeah, they just sort of condense it, which, yeah, you know, you're going to have to do, because you can't spend, you know, eight years on screen in a two and a half hour movie, right?
Yeah. But what is most noticeable from the book's story, I already seen they being adapted in a movie, and I'm quite satisfied with that. I enjoyed my experience watching this movie, so yeah, I hope the listener that we're having here will also share the same interest and may check it out too. It's kind of underrated. It's a sci-fi movie just as good as I would just compare it to Pacific Rim or Godzilla, because they also deal with strange creatures, alien creatures, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also Star Wars. There's some space fights in the scene in the movie. There's a selling point where you don't get to see how the spaceship battles, but you get to see how the commanders of a space fleet gonna come up with their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And how intense, how much pressure they have to deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah, more of a focus on sort of the tactical side of things, as opposed to, you know, focusing on the pilot of a starfighter or whatever.
Yeah. That's kind of make it really unique out of the movies I have watched too. And I have watched really a lot of movies. Yeah.
Well, so a strong recommendation from you?
Yep. That is, if you listener have anything, maybe have some free time, you want something you want to enjoy with your family, have a movie night, then you should really check it out, Ender's Game.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of